This is an independent project funded by no one else but our listeners. For subtitles, please visit our YouTube channel. Subscribe for free on YouTube to get us closer to monetization. For access to all the locked content, please consider becoming a paid subscriber for less than $3 per month on Spotify or support us on Patreon and Ko-fi. Details are in the descriptions. Thank you. Journey to the West, an audio drama series. Chapter 10, Part 2. We return to Taizong, whose dazed soul drifted out of the Tower of Five Phoenixes. He saw the Imperial troops inviting him out of court to go on a hunt. Taizong gladly agreed and followed them out, still floating. After a while, the troops and horses disappeared, and the Emperor was left alone, walking in the wilderness. Just as he was anxiously looking for the way out, from the side, a man could be heard shouting loudly, "Emperor of the Great Tang, come this way, come this way." Taizong heard the calls and looked up to find a man dressed in neat official attire. When Taizong approached him, the man began prostrating himself by the rose, saying, "Your Majesty, forgive your subject for a belated welcome." Taizong asked, "Who are you? Why are you here to greet us?" The man answered, "About half a month ago, your humble subject was at the Hall of Diversity, where I saw the ghost dragon of the Jing River suing your Majesty for breaking the promise to save his life. King Qin Guang of the First Hall immediately sent ghost messengers to bring you here. That way, the plaintiff, defendant, and witness can all come together for the trial. I was made aware of the matter and therefore am here to receive you. I did not expect to be late for your arrival today. I beg you to forgive my sins." Taizong asked, "What is your name? What position do you hold?" The man answered, "When your subject was alive, I served under your father, the deceased emperor, as magistrate of Cizhou. Later, I became the vice minister of rights. My last name is Cui, and my given name is Jue. Now in the underworld, I serve as the chief judge of Fengdu." Taizong was overjoyed. Reaching out his hand to grab Cui Jue, he said, "Thank you for the trouble of traveling such a long way. Wei Zheng, who serves under us, happens to have a letter for you. What a coincidence that we managed to meet." The judge thanked the emperor and asked for the letter. Taizong then took it out from his sleeve and handed over to Cui Jue. Cui Jue took it and opened it up on the spot. The letter was as follows. "Your young brother Wei Zheng, who is unworthy of your love, bows before the desk of my sworn older brother, the Honorable Mr. Cui. Recall our good old days traveling together, your voice and face still vivid in my memory. Years have rapidly passed by since I have last received your wise teachings. I could only serve you vegetables and fruits as offering on festive days, and had no way of knowing if you were able to enjoy them. I am grateful that you never abandoned me and gave me guidance in my dreams. That was how I first learned of your promotion. Unfortunately, the dead and living reside in separate worlds and cannot meet face to face. Now, due to the sudden demise of my emperor, I expect a trial between the plaintiff, defendant, and witness to be upon us. Hence I knew the emperor would be able to meet you, my older brother. I earnestly pray that you consider our friendship from when you were alive and do me the small favor of letting His Majesty return to life. This will be a great favor and I will seek to thank you again some way. I shall refrain from going into too much detail for now." The judge finished the letter and was filled with delight, saying, "Your subject has been long aware of Justice Wei decapitating the old dragon in his dream. I have nothing but compliment for him. I also owe him a great deal for taking care of my descendants. Since he wrote me a letter today, your Majesty shall calm your heart. Your humble subject will make sure you return to life and once again rise to your imperial palaces." Taizong thanked him deeply. Just as the pair were talking, Two youths, dressed in cyan, holding flags and covers, arrived and shouted. King Yan has an invitation for you. An invitation for you. Taizong then followed the two youths alongside Judge Cui. Suddenly, they arrived at a city where a huge plaque hung on the gate. On the plaque were 7 golden characters. Yu Ming Di Fu Gui Men Guan, meaning Ghost Gate of the Underworld of Darkness. Their guides in cyan waved the flags to lead Taizong into the city. As they walked along the streets, they saw Taizong's father, the deceased Emperor Li Yuan, his late older brother Li Jiancheng, and his late younger brother Li Yuanji. They could be heard yelling, "Shimin is here! Shimin is here!" Shimin, if you recall, was the given name of Emperor Taizong, who claimed the throne by killing his 2 brothers Jiancheng and Yuanji. And there, Jiancheng and Yuanji began reaching forward, demanding Taizong's life. Taizong couldn't dodge in time and fell into their clutches. Fortunately, Judge Cui ordered a ghost guard with a blue face and sharp fangs to drive away Jiancheng and Yuanji. Only then did Taizong escape safely. They walked for a few more li and came upon a tower built with jade tiles. What a magnificent place! Hidden behind colorful mist stood a glowing structure grandiose to the extreme. Guarded by underworld monsters, this is the central gate of the underworld, beneath which lies King Yan's Hall of Diversity. Taizong was looking from the outside when he heard the sound of jade tinkling as a divinely fragrant scent entered his nose. 2 pairs of attendants with candles, followed by the 10 kings of the underworld, came down the steps. Coming out of the treasure hall of diversity, the 10 kings of the underworld bowed to welcome Taizong. Out of modesty, Taizong did not walk forward, so the 10 kings said, "Your Majesty is a human king from the world of the living. We are ghost kings from the world of the dead. This is just how things are. There is no need to be so excessively polite." Taizong said, "We have offended your honors. How dare we argue about the living and dead, or humans and ghosts?" After a show of modesty, Taizong eventually moved forward and entered straight into the Hall of Diversity. Having exchanged formalities, the host and guests took their seats. A little while later, King Xingguang gestured to ask, "The ghost dragon of Jing River accused your majesty of breaking the promise to save his life. What was that about?" Taizong answered, "We did dream of the old dragon begging us for help one night. We promised that he would be fine, but had no idea that his crime deserved a capital punishment and was meant to be beheaded by the chief justice of humans, Wei Zheng, who served under us. We invited Wei Zheng into the palace to have a game of Wei Qi and was unaware that he slay the dragon in his dreams. On one hand, the whereabouts of the chief justice of humans was unpredictable. On the other hand, the Dragon King deserved to die for his crimes. How was this any of our fault?" The 10 kings heard his explanation and bowed to say, "Since before that dragon was born, the death register of the Southern Celestial Dipper has written that he was destined to die in the hands of a human justice. We have long been aware of that, but he just had to argue the case here and demanded your majesty be present for the trial. We have sent him into the world of transmigration. He is on the way to rebirth. We appreciate that your majesty made your way here despite the hardship. Please forgive us for rushing you in." When they were done, they called the judge in charge of the register of life and death, saying, "Bring the books here this instant. Check how many years of life has been granted by heaven to his majesty." Judge Cui hurried back to his office and took out the master register of life for the kings of every country in the world. He looked through it in detail and found that Emperor Tang Taizong of Jambudvipa, continent of the south, was destined to enjoy 13 years of his reign,
which was named Zhen Guan.
Judge Cui was shocked and quickly snatched a big brush dipped with thick ink. By adding two more horizontal strokes, he turned the character Yi, meaning one, into San, meaning three, effectively turning the word 13 into 33. Only then did he hand the register over. The Ten Kings read the register from the start and saw that under Taizong's name was 33 years of reign. King Yan asked in amazement, "How many years have you been on the throne, Your Majesty?" Taizong answered, "It has been 13 years since we were enthroned." King Yan said, "Worry not, Your Majesty, you still have 20 more years of life ahead of you. Now that the case has been cleared, please return to the world of the living." Taizong heard it and bowed as thanks. The Ten Kings then ordered Judge Cui and Marshal Zhu to escort Taizong back to the world above. Taizong was on his way out of the Hall of Diversity before gesturing to the Ten Kings and asked, "May we ask about the well-being of the royal family, both old and young?" The Ten Kings answered, "They are all well. However, we are afraid that your royal younger sister's life is coming to an end." Taizong bowed again to thank them, saying, "I can think of nothing to thank you for bringing me back to life but melons and fruits." The Ten Kings happily said, "We have plenty of East Melon and West Melon.
We lack only the South Melon."
"The East Melon is the wax gourd. The West Melon is the watermelon. And the South Melon is the pumpkin."
Taizong said, "We will deliver it to you as soon as we return.
As soon as we return." And so they bid farewell and parted. The marshal held a soul-guiding flag and walked at the front, while Judge Cui escorted Taizong out of the underworld offices. Taizong raised his head and found it was not the way he came, so he said to the judge, "This is the wrong way." The judge answered, "No, this is how things are in the underworld. There is only a way out, but not a way in. I am now sending your majesty out through the process of transmigration. On one hand, you will take a tour of hell. On the other hand, you will eventually be brought back to life." Taizong could only follow their way. After walking for a few li, they came suddenly to a high mountain, where dark clouds sank to the ground and black mist covered the skies. Taizong asked, "Mr. Cui, what mountain is this?" The judge answered, "This is Yin Shan, or Mount Yin, at the back of the underworld." Taizong asked fearfully, "How could we possibly cross it?" The judge said, "Calm yourself, Your Majesty. Your subjects are here to guide you." Still frightened, Taizong followed the pair and climbed up the rocks. As he looked up, this was what he saw. Rugged and jagged, this truly was no sight from the world of the living, but a dangerous place in the world of the dead. You couldn't hear the sound of animals, as ghosts and monsters hid in your surroundings. Wrapped in cold wind and black mist, the landscape was hidden, barren, with only wicked creatures by your side. This was nature without beauty. Everywhere you looked, evil spirits could be found. Underworld guards could be heard yelling over the wailing souls of the suffering. The judge and marshal could do nothing but hurry their steps out of the place. Owing to the judge's protection, Taizong made it past Mount Yin. They passed by many more courtrooms, and every single one of them was filled with deafening cries and frightening monsters. Taizong again asked, "What is this place?" The judge answered, "This is the 18 layers of hell behind Mount Yin." Taizong asked, "Which 18 layers. The judge answered, Listen carefully to what I have to say. Here are held of hanging tendon, held of gloomy injustice, and held of fire pit. Lonesome and troubling, they are reserved for those who have profoundly sinned and are here to receive their verdict. Here are held of feng du, held of pulling tongue, and held of stripping skin. Filled with crying and deep sorrow, they are reserved for the disloyal, the immoral, and the hypocritical. Here are held of crushing grind, held of pressing pound, and held of shattering torso. With torn bodies and gaping mouths, those who lie with no conscience and deceive with words end up in this place. Here are held of freezing ice, held of shedding shell, and held of eviscerating intestine. Filthy and sad are those who cheat in business dealings, which has brought disaster upon themselves. Here are held of boiling oil, held of total darkness, and held of Blame Mountain. Terrified and desperate, those who bully the good will cower and hunch for the rest of their days. Here are held of blood pool, held of endless pain, and held of weight beam. Skin is shed, and bones are exposed, arms are broken, and tendons cut. For these people murdered for money. Those who have fallen here will remain without a chance of leaving. Guards will tie them up and torture them, but their agony and blood will never be answered. Indeed, man ought not his own conscience betray, for gods have knowledge who could get away. Thus vice and virtue will at last be paid. It differs only in coming soon or late. Taizong heard this and became terror-stricken. They kept walking ahead, and soon a group of ghost soldiers holding flags knelt down by the roadside and said, Envoys of the bridge are here to receive you. The judge shouted, Head forward. With him as lead, Taizong crossed a golden bridge. He noticed that right next to them was a silver bridge, on which walked several individuals known for being righteous and loyal, who stood up for fairness and justice. They also had flags guiding their way. And beyond was yet another bridge. That bridge, however, had cold wind blowing across and bloody waves rolling beneath, from which loud wailing could be heard. Taizong asked, What sort of bridge is that? The judge answered, Your Majesty, that is known as Naihe Qiao, the bridge of helplessness. The word Naihe, you see, can refer to both the river named Nai, or a state of no avail. The judge continued, Once you have made it back to the world of the living, do remember what you're seeing under the bridge. The violent waves and narrow roads, cold air and foul odor. It's a long and narrow way high up in the air and over a bottomless abyss. No railing to offer support, only terrifying monsters underneath who are ready to snatch you. Guards are as fearsome as the fallen souls are desperate. Once you fall over, there is no way out of this desolation. As they were talking, the bridge envoys went back where they came. Taizong was so scared that he could only nod and sigh softly, holding back his sadness in silence. Following the judge and marshal, he soon made his way across the vicious waters of the Nai River, out of the bitter land that was a blood basin. Moving forward, they arrived at a place called Wang Sicheng, meaning City of the Unjustly Slain. There, loud shouts could be clearly heard. Li Shimin is here! Li Shimin is here! Taizong heard their calls and was shaken to his core. And then came a group of goats, crippled with broken waist and severed arms, walking with feet but had no heads.
They came forward and blocked them, yelling,
"Give me back my life! Give me back my life!"
Terrified, Taizong tried to hide and dodge, shouting,
"Mr. Sui, save me! Save me!"
The judge said, "Your Majesty, these are the souls of all the rebels and bandits, princes and chiefs from the chaotic days of the previous dynasty's demise. It's the sins of the unjustly slain. They cannot be accepted anywhere or be cared for, nor can they be reborn. They have no money, and ended up a bunch of freezing, hungry souls. Your Majesty must hand them some money before I can save you." Taizong said,
"We came here empty-handed. Where could we possibly find any money?"
The judge said, "Your Majesty, there is a man from the world of the living who has deposited some gold and silver to the care of the underworld. You could use your name for a loan with this humble judge as voucher. Borrow from one of his storage rooms for now and distribute the wealth to these hungry ghosts. Only then can we move through."
Taizong asked, "Who is this man?"
The judge answered, "He is a native of Kaifeng, a place in Henan. His last name is Xiang and given name Liang. He owns 13 storage rooms of gold and silver here. If your Majesty borrowed from him, you could just pay him back when you return to the world of the living." Taizong was delighted and happily offered his name for the loan. After signing the document and handing it over to the judge, he borrowed the storage of gold and silver for the marshal to give away. The judge added, "This gold and silver shall be equally distributed between you all. Let the lord from Great Tang pass through. He still has a lot of life ahead of him. By the honored orders of the 10 kings, I am here to send his soul back to life. I shall instruct him to host a grand mass of land and water so you can all be reborn. Now, make no more trouble." The ghost heard his words, accepted the gold and silver, and left in obedience. The judge then ordered the marshal to wave the soul-guiding flag and let Taizong out of the city of the unjustly slain. Coming to a wide and flat road, they drifted away. "We do not know from which way they would leave. Please wait until the next chapter." Journey to the West, an audio drama series, is an independent production by The Fifth Monkey. For subtitles, please visit our YouTube channel. Subscribe for free on YouTube to get us closer to monetization. For access to all the locked content, please consider becoming a paid subscriber for less than $3 per month on Spotify or support us on Patreon and Ko-fi. You will have a chance to access the latest release and other exclusive content. Head to www.thefifthmonkey.com for links to all the platforms we're on and support us on social media. Shares, comments, emails, all are welcome. This is Lin. See you in the next episode.